Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
I want to continue what we have been discussing on how to birth the visions of God in your life. Today I want to read again from the book of Matthew chapter 6, from the King James Bible, in verse 22. Jesus said, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. And if thine eye be evil, that is distracted, the opposite of single, all right, having too many things you are trying to focus on at the same time, your whole body shall be full of darkness." Then in verse 24, he says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Now, bear that one in mind. Let me quickly explain something here. He said that you cannot serve God and mammon. I brought out something last time. That mammon, of course, refers to the what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and where with us shall we be clothed. Now, those are the basic things people rush after in life. And he's saying that if that is a focus of what you are trying to birth in life, the vision, so as to give yourself money and make yourself very famous and, you know, being a rich man and just be a man who can enjoy life, then you are not serving God. And I'm addressing you as a child of God, that your primary aim in life must be to have the visions of God. Remember, many episodes earlier, in the earlier portions of this series, I explained what it means to have the visions of God. That is, the visions of God are those things that are primarily existent, all right, to be a blessing to people's lives. That what you are thinking about is how I can solve problems in my society. What you are thinking about is how I can impact somebody else's life positively. What you are thinking about is how I can invent something that will make life easier for people. Then those are the visions of God, all right? So if you see life like you're on assignment, you were born for a purpose, please don't forget this. Nobody was born to come and enjoy life. You see, there's no need envying your friend who was born into a millionaire house. Look, it doesn't mean anything. Being born into a poor house is part of your training to become effective as a minister, as a person of God sent to this life to bless other people. It is on record that most great people in this life come out of humble or at best middle-level backgrounds. Do you understand my point? And that's a vast majority, more than 90% of them. The reason being that is where people have been trained. Do you follow my point? To face the hardships of life, you are privileged. Listen, you are privileged to have had disappointments and shortcomings, in quote, in your background. If you will look at it with that mindset, the Bible says that our temporal light affliction works for us an eternal weight of glory while we look at the things that are not seen. All right? Because the things that are seen, the physical things, they are temporary. They can vanish. But the things that are not seen are eternal. Let's put it in a practical way now. There is a vision in your heart. If you keep on looking at that, it will produce. Listen, the Bible says that the worlds were made by the word of God so that the things that are visible were not made out of the things that are visible. That is, the things that you can see, they came out of things that were not visible. Visions in the heart, ideas that God gave into people's hearts. If you focus on those things, it will work for you an eternal weight of glory. While we look at the things that are not seen, all right, our light, our affliction, which are temporal, they work for us an eternal weight of glory. What will come out of your background of suffering? What will come out of your background of deprivation? What will come out of your background of shortcomings, if you get what I'm trying to say, is going to be so great that you will thank God for the place where you came from. Don't ever forget that. All right? It's important to understand that those points. So we've been saying, your eye must be single. You must have a focus. You shouldn't be running to and fro like the devil. From where have you come? From running to and fro the surface of the earth, he told God in the book of Job. We are not Satan's disciples. We must be focused on something in life. There's a skill. There's a vision. There's something in your heart. It's a simple thing. You don't have to dream one night and God say, my son, see what I want you to do. There is just a good thing that's inside your heart which you want to produce. There is a good school you would like to produce. All right. There are great inventions you would like to produce. There are big businesses you would like to bring to birth. All right. So that you can bless your employees and bless the people you are going to be serving. There are great ministries you want to birth, young man of God, so that you can teach the word of God effectively and transform people's lives positively. There are great ministries you want to birth so you can deliver the anointing and the healing power of God to the lives of people, putting smiles on people's faces. I said something last time that what is most important is not how much cash is returned to you, but how much thanksgiving is given up to God. Read the letters of Paul. You will see that what he emphasized all the time was that as a result of this thing that you have done, many thanksgiving go up to God. As a result of this thing that we have done, many thanksgiving go up to God. As a result of the deliverance that we have experienced, many thanksgiving are going up to God. He said, as you pray for us, if you go and read that 2 Corinthians chapter 1, as you pray for us and we are delivered, at the end of the day, many thanksgivings go up to God. His emphasis was that all the time, people have cause to rejoice and thank God. And that is how you should judge the success of your vision. Are you getting the point? Now, let me sit on that thing I continued last time, which we'll continue again today. That's the issue of the singleness of eye. I said that as your eye is single, as you're focusing that on that thing, that's when Jesus said, your body will be full of light. Don't forget what I said. What God gives is understanding. He said, the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. Listen, success in life, listen, you know, can be reproduced. What I mean is, no, you will succeed to a level that you will be able to reproduce your success. And when I'm talking about that, that tells you something. You will have to have the ability to teach people coming after you, all right, how to succeed. It's so important you understand that point. Now, you will not be able to reproduce that thing in the hearts of people if you are unable to teach them. And you will not be able to teach them if you don't have understanding. One of the reasons why in my life, maybe that's how God moved me, of course, it was the Spirit of God working. Why I chose to be a teacher, both in secular world and in spiritual things, was because I noticed that a lot of times students settle down, they are unable to learn because the person trying to teach them doesn't even know what he's trying to teach. I had many experiences of which I would settle down and somebody is just, a teacher just copies a note from somewhere, dictates this to students, and is unable to answer simple, intelligent questions. I said, no, I have to teach. And one of the first things that God led me through was that in whatever I have to teach, I must first gain understanding. I must first gain understanding. Understanding is the thing that gives you the ability to remember and the ability to teach. A lot of students want to remember what they don't understand. It is difficult to remember what you don't understand. But if you understand something, remembering becomes very easy for you. And in the same manner, what you understand is easy to communicate to somebody else. When people tell me that, oh, I don't know how to explain this, I say it's because you really don't understand it. Listen, if you have a full understanding, it becomes easy for you to explain. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make here? I like the way several people have been quoted. In fact, somebody quoted Warren Buffett for me. He said, Warren Buffett, the man I mentioned who's currently the richest man in the world, his own principle of investment has always been that any company I want to invest in, I must know what they do. I must know it so well that I'll be able to explain it to my mother. That any company I can't explain what they do to my mother, I will not put my money in it. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make there? That is, I must have understanding. And I said that what God gives you in birthing your vision in life is that understanding of what to do. And I'm saying that when you have understanding on what to do and you pursue doing it, listen, when you have succeeded in doing it, you will be able to teach it to other people. My best scriptural reference here is in the book of Exodus chapter 35, all right, reading from verse 30. God there was speaking to Moses, and he told him to call a particular man. His name was Bezalel, all right, that this man was a craftsman. He said, God has filled this man with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all craftsmanship. Please notice this. He had wisdom, understanding and knowledge in the thing that he was going to do. His job was to design things, stuff in gold, in silver and bronze and in wood and in stone. Now the man was a fantastic artist. The Bible now said in verse 34, he also has put in his heart to teach. Now listen to this. He said he also has put in his heart to teach. Look, before he could qualify to teach, he had to have wisdom and knowledge and understanding. What am I going to say? In the birthing of your visions, you will have understanding. That is what will give you the ability to communicate your vision with your staff and communicate it to those you are going to bless afterwards. Do you follow what I'm going to say? Please, you must come to full understanding. The Holy Spirit will not just say, okay, my friend, just get up and start doing nothing, doing the things anyhow. No, he will tell you what to do. Now, listen to this. It may not be reasonable to everybody, but for you, it will most certainly make sense. For you, you will have an understanding on the steps you want to take. You may not have the full understanding to the end, but each particular step in front of you or each particular season that you have come into, you will know what you are supposed to do in that season. Listen, if you are doing a business, you are doing a project, you are doing a ministry, you are a student, you are having problems in your academics or whatever, I want to give you a prayer point that you must pray as soon as this broadcast is over. And that is, give me understanding and I shall live. It's very important. Because in each season of life, there is an understanding you must have. Jesus said something when he was teaching disciples how to pray. He said, pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. Now that word bread has a very deep meaning. The word bread is not only what you eat. Remember, life is in seasons. So Jesus said, for a particular season, there is a bread that you need for that season. What is bread? He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. That's the word of God. That is the illumination of God, the understanding of God that you need for each season. It's important. There are things you're doing in this season you did not do in the previous season. And you may not need to do in the next season. But for this season, God gives you the understanding of what to do. And that's what you must pray about. Don't just go around copying people. Please, go down on your knees and say, God, I am in a particular season in my life. What do I do? I am a single lady waiting for a husband. What do I do? I am a single man looking for a wife. What do I do? This is my season, all right, of seeking a spouse. This is my season of beginning my business. This is my season of consolidating the business I have already begun. What do I do? This is my season of increasing my business from just one establishment present in one single city and spreading it all over the nation. Lord, what exactly do I do? Listen, this is the power of Christianity. That when you go to pray, your God is alive and he answers you and he's so close. And I said, one of the things he does for you is that the Spirit of God gives you understanding. He gives you illumination. Listen, if you are not focused on something, God will not be able to help you. You know, many years ago, my wife asked me a question because I'm a Bible teacher also. Because I was explaining a principle about prayer and fasting and all of that. She said that Daniel prayed for 21 days before he got an answer. And the day the angel brought the answer, the angel said that the first day you prayed, the answer was released. So she now asked me a question. What would have happened if Daniel had stopped praying for the next 20 days? Now listen to the answer I gave her. It's interesting. It's very important you get this. Was it his fasting and his prayer that brought the angel? No. Because the Bible made it very clear that the first day he asked, in fact, he said, as soon as he set up in his, made up his mind, he wanted to see God. God released the answer. 21 days after, the angel came with the answer. So what if he had left? If he had ceased praying? And you know, this is the interesting part. If he had ceased praying, the angel would have gone back. It is not because the answer was not released, but because the man to whom the answer was released was no longer focused on waiting for the answer. It is not because the answer wasn't released or that his continued prayer is necessary for the release of the answer. It is just that he will only have stopped praying if he has become distracted. Get what I'm going to say? I'm talking about singleness of eye. When we are not focused on something, God is unable to pass the understanding necessary to us eventually. Listen, what God gives you by the Spirit of Christ, is what I'm going to explain, is understanding. But it does not come in one day. It comes to the people who are focused on what they are doing and they are not willing to depart from doing it. Do you get my point? Having established that this is a principle of righteousness is the principle of truth. The woman I've used as an example here again and again, her name is Mary Kay Ash. All right, she founded the company Mary Kay Cosmetics and was adjudged, I read a journal about it some time ago, was adjudged the woman entrepreneur of the century, all right, in the United States of America. Now, what was her issue? She started her company as a middle-aged woman, in her late middle age, after she had retired, having worked for other people for over 20 years. Now, why did she start the company? She said over the years she had, because she's a marketing person, she was not exactly a cosmetics person. She was a marketing person. She wanted to do marketing. She had worked over years marketing products for other people. She said she noticed over the years, this is how people are supposed to do things. And these people haven't done it like that. So she decided to write in a book what she thinks people should use as the principles for marketing, of course, and build a marketing company. Then she asked herself, why should anybody want to read this book? And in fact, when I think about it, when I'm talking about God speaking to people, that's how God speaks to you. An idea just drops in your mind. He said, why should anybody read this book? and she thought it is true. Nobody should read it because I haven't achieved anything that will make people want to learn from me. He said, okay, let me therefore go and put the principles in this book into practice. Then I will be able to teach people how to do it. Listen, the reason why she founded that company was so that she can prove that what she wrote in the book was accurate. The company did very well, and eventually she released the book. That was what I read, and different editions of it, and it became a very successful company. The woman was a billionaire in her days and stuff like that. Now, this is the point I'm making. She was marketing for years, observing the problems in marketing and noting the correct thing that should be done. Her company succeeded rather fast. But like I said last time, it was evening first and it was morning. Not for the company, but for her life. Her life was the issue. She suffered for decades as a single mother who had to raise like 4 or 5 children and work to raise these children and still be there all the time for her children. She saw the problems of being a woman and trying to do well in the arena of business and raising a family. So she said, no, these are the ways by which a company can help these people succeed. So she started her company, therefore, to empower women. She said, enriching women's lives. Like I said, to prove that what she has written in that book is correct. And over time, she was proved to be right. Now, it has reached a point in which they study her in top business schools in the world because she had understanding and she was able to pass that understanding across to other people. But notice she was on something for a long time. She was focused on a particular issue. The problem I said last time, which was what I'm developing again, that people are not focused on anything. The man tries a business for a short while, he goes away because he doesn't make money in a particular year or in 2 years. He's not focused on it. Listen, the only way God will help you help those who are coming afterwards is by having you go through the trials that they will go through. And when you have gone through those trials, you will be able to help those who will be similarly tried. Paul said it like this, we are comforted in our afflictions so that we'll be able to comfort those who are similarly afflicted with the same comfort with which God comforted us. Remember, you cannot be a successful man and a subsequent successful teacher if you did not go through the trials that other people are going to go through. So you're in the midst of trials. You don't foresee things because of that. There's another scripture I want to read to explain this point further. And this scripture is again in that line of creation. We have the impression, and to a large extent we are correct, that everything that God created was perfect the way he wanted it to be on the day that he created it. But you see, this interesting part. It was okay for the earth, for the light, for the earth, for the good, for the animals, the plants, and all of that. But when it came to man, an issue came up. Having made the man and looked at everything, he said, this one is very good. Then the next thing he looked at, he said, it is not good. Ah. He just said that everything was very good. Then he now looked and said, this is not good. And what was he referring to? He was referring to the man. He said, it is not good that man be alone. When we started creation, the first stage, everything was perfect. But to move into the next level, he said, this man is no longer perfect. So he said, it is not good that man be alone. This is scripture we all know. And that's in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. God said, it is not good. What does it not good mean? That this is no longer in perfect accordance with my purpose and my plan. It was after a while. Now, there's a reason why I brought this matter up. When you start working and producing the vision of God in your life, along the line, among the things you will continue to notice are the things that are not good. Listen, you will have produced something and you are happy. You have found a way of doing your business. You have established in a particular realm. Then one day a dissatisfaction comes into your soul that, oh boy, this thing you are doing can be better than this. And those are the principles of growth. It has been said again and again that only a madman keeps doing the same thing in the same way and expects a different result. Now, please understand that in two ways. One, you first have to do a particular thing based on understanding for a length of time and you will get a result. Now, if you want to change your results, that's what they are saying, then you have to add new illumination. Listen, I don't mean just change what you are doing for nothing, because sometimes people don't understand the spirits or the implications that are inside the statement. If somebody says, if you continue doing the same thing, the same manner, and you expect a different result, you're a crazy person. He didn't mean that you do something one day, and then tomorrow you expect a result, if that thing is supposed to take 2 months as a result to come out. I mean, you don't plant your corn, and then go and dig it up after 3 weeks, and say, how come this thing has not produced fruit yet? Therefore, I have to do it in a particular way. You must have, that's why understanding is so important. A lot of people go around quoting things and doing things upside down. What they lack is understanding. That's why they don't get the result. But what he's saying is that if I've gotten a particular level of result All right? And I want to move to another level of result. What I need to do is to imbibe new understanding. Listen to me. That is why there is no substitute for the child of God for prayer. Prayer is an implicit part of your life, number one. Then number two, you must always read. Because one of the things, ways by which God communicates new ideas to you is by giving you new information concerning what other people have done. God sends prophets. A lot of people prophesy into your life. They don't even realize they are prophesying. They will just give you a new idea. Please, this point I've made is very important. Anytime it appears that what you are doing has reached a limit and is not going further, listen, get back home and go and pray. Don't be stubborn like a mule. Get back home and go and pray. He said, the righteousness of thy testimonies, they are everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall acquire life. I shall acquire success. I shall become productive. My business will jump to another level. My family will enter a new level of joy and prosperity. My academics will suddenly increase. If you have read as a student a particular way and you have been failing, come back home, pray and say, God, I have done things wrongly. Go and ask advice from those who are ahead of you. How should I do this thing? Because God looked at Adam and said, the current situation he's in is not good. He can't produce the kind of results we want him to produce. Therefore, I shall make for him a helpmate. It might be that in your situation, therefore, I shall change my pattern of reading. It might be that, therefore, I shall change the company I keep. Listen, there are friends you have who are not helping you make progress and you don't realize it. Some of you women, the reason why you have problems with your husband is that you have two friends you spend an hour a day talking to who are injecting a rebellious spirit into you and they will not allow your family to settle. You need to cut them off. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? There are men who are not doing well in businesses because of the circles they are running in. You're not a politician. What are you doing always going for political meetings? God has called you to be a businessman. It's your covetousness. You think if you get a government contract, you suddenly become very rich. God said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. That is, money is not my problem. If I wanted to give you money, I will give you money. I haven't given you money because I want you to make steady progress in a particular area. You haven't made it. You are hobnobbing with politicians, hoping that they will give you contracts. That is why they have disappointed you. They have disappointed you again and again. It is me telling you, go back home and go and man your business. Face your business and you will succeed. And then one day the politicians will start asking for your favor. There are men in this country. They are not politicians. They don't want to be involved in politics. But politicians don't. They don't make new laws and regulations without consulting them. Because they have become big business players. Even the politician needs help. Why don't you build yourself to the level where you are the one? There are people who will be begging for help instead of you jumping from one place to another. You have lost respect because they all know what you are looking for. He said, give me understanding, I shall live. There is something you are supposed to do differently from what you have done in previous times. And I'm speaking to you today. Get back home. Get down at the end of this program. Get on your knees and say, God, give me understanding, I shall live. The beauty of Christianity is that we have a God who is so close, who we can approach by the power of the blood of Jesus. With righteousness in our hearts, having been forgiven of our sins. And from his throne, we get help. We get mercy to help us in the time of our need. We get direction. We get understanding. We get favor. We know what to do. And his spirit rides upon our acting upon what we know to do as we do them. And brings forth fruit upon the earth. Every fruit that comes upon this earth is a gift of God. Paul was speaking. He said, I planted. Apollos watered, but God has given the increase. You need to learn how to plant and you need to learn how to water and leave the increase to God. The men you are running after cannot give you increase. Only God can give you increase. What you are doing right now may not be accurate. You have done it so well this far. You have done so well. You have built a big secondary school. You have built a second branch. You have built a third one in another city and you have moved to another city. God says, is that all you want to do? And suddenly your heart is saying, why don't I build the kind of university that will give international quality education at local quality cost? If you don't understand what I say, that is an average person, an average civil servant, an average worker will be able to send his child or two or three to that school. They will get American level education, European level education, yet they will take it locally. Must we all pay with our whole year's earning for one semester? He said, no. And then God said, well, you've done these schools very well. and I want to honor you for it. But get on your knees and go and find out what to do that leaps people from being secondary school proprietors to university chancellors, to being investors and founders of universities. Listen to me, there's something I want to leave with you when it comes to ideas, great ideas. Don't ever forget, God has not called you alone. He said, the Lord has sent me and His Spirit. What the Spirit of God does is that He starts raising up other people, people that God prepared before you came on the scene, as helpers for your vision. Listen, David was not exactly a very big man. We know that because at least we are sure. When he killed Goliath, he was a small boy. When he appeared in the midst of his brothers, the Bible said that he was ruddy and of a handsome countenance. I looked at that. People look at it, the Bible was describing that David was handsome. That's not the way I see it. The way I see it was that he was contrasting him with warriors. Warriors are big, strong, and harsh, and muscular looking, and tough looking. This guy was essentially paperless. He was a gentle guy, a young boy that only used to run with sheep. Then the Spirit of God spoke to Samuel. He said, "Arise and anoint him, because this is he." When the anointing of God came upon David, men stronger than him began to help him. Listen, men stronger than David helped him. The sons of Zeruiah, Joab and his brothers, they began to help him. Are you following the point I'm making? Strong men who had fought for Saul in previous times, they came over to the camp of David until the Bible said that he had an army very great, like the army of God. They were the ones that established him, physically speaking now, as king in Israel, when the anointing of God had come upon him. Listen to me. Let me leave this word, which is very prophetic. Just dream your visions. Pray your prayers. Do what's in your hand to do. God is raising mighty men, men with more cash than you have ever dreamt of, waiting to fund your ideas. People who are there, who are saying, what do we do next to bless this country? I have so much money, I don't know what else I can do. You know, the other day I was watching Warren Buffett. He said he planned all his life to give out all the money that he will make. And this was a man who said to his young wife, I'm going to be very rich. And who became the richest man in the world. When it was time to give out the money, he did not even know how to give it out. Then he looked around and found that Bill Gates and his wife Melinda are already giving out money in a manner that he admired. And he took all the money and gave to them. Say, take and go and give out this money. What am I trying to explain? There are people who are looking for those to help them do things. Say, oh, I want to invest in education in Nigeria. I don't know how to do it. And one day somebody will tap him on the shoulder. Say, I know one young man. He started from nursery schools until he went to secondary school level. I believe there's a greater thing than that he wants to do. Why don't you call him up, sir, and negotiate with him? And then you guys can begin to do great things for the nation. That's how God lifts people up. Nobody can struggle by himself to get to a high place. It's the favor of God that we get from him by our faithfulness and by our commitment to praying to him and realizing that only from him will our help come. Those are the things that God puts together and brings forth favor upon our lives and brings us to the place of greatness, of great results and great effectiveness. Joseph did not build Egypt. The pharaohs and their people, they did. But Pharaoh appointed him as ruler and made him a prince amongst the peoples. I hope you've understood my point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.